At a campaign rally last night in Sunrise, Florida, President Trump attacked the Democrats leading the impeachment inquiry.
And now the same maniacs are pushing the deranged impeachment. Think of this. Impeachment. Impeachment. A witch hunt.
Well, he went on to use the full, crude, barnyard version of BS. But yesterday, new closed-door inquiry testimony was released, and Mark Sandy of the Budget Office said he was told the request to freeze aid to Ukraine came directly from Trump. Let's convene our political strategist, Alice Stewart, the Republican. Alice, happy Thanksgiving Eve.
Happy Thanksgiving Eve, Robin. Great to be here.
And Adrian Elrod, the Democratic strategist. Adrian, same to you.
Thank you, Robin. Same to you.
And you guys, we have to stop tweeting each other before we go on air because I forget we're going on air and then I'm all disconfined because we're tweeting out there.
Save it.
Let's get to that new evidence from earlier closed-door inquiry testimony. Career budget official Mark Sandy also said that he believes two people in the Office of Budget and Management quit in part over that freeze. It officially was set in motion the day of Trump's phone call with the Ukrainian president in which he asked for investigations. And President Trump released the aid only after he got caught, after the whistleblower complaint was made known and there was a bipartisan outcry. Alice, there is a 1974 law crafted after Nixon used congressional aid for personal purposes, making it illegal to do that. Should Republicans be careful here? The president, you know, it appears he's broken that law.
Look, the Republicans are looking at what happened, Robin, and what happened is that the aid was released and there was no meeting. And so much is going to be written after the fact about what may have led up to the events that the Democrats are pushing with this impeachment probe. But at the end of the day, the funding was not withheld, and that's what needs to be the center of focus. And look, the reality is Democrats do not have the support they need from across the country. The difference in what we had with the Nixon impeachment as well as the Bill Clinton impeachment was that this was bipartisan. And one thing Nancy Pelosi said from the beginning, if Democrats went down this road, it should be overwhelming and bipartisan. It is not as strictly along party lines,
Well, Alice,
and Democrats realize they have trouble.
Alice, I just want to say one thing, and we've said it, you know, in the past, that if a burglar is caught breaking into a house, that doesn't mean he's not a burglar. It was an attempted burglary, and you're saying, you know, the money was eventually delivered. But Adrian, pick up something that Alice just said. There's been testimony after testimony that the president, you know, held up that aid, but also spread lies about Ukraine, fiction planted by Russia, and it is not moving the needle in the polls one bit. Are Democrats setting themselves up for AG Barr to come out again, as he did after the Mueller report, and completely clear the president, even though there's damning evidence?
Well, you know, I don't know that necessarily the Democrats are the ones setting this up. I think what Democrats are doing is doing their constitutional job of upholding the law and holding the president accountable. You know, Nancy Pelosi made it very clear when she decided after, you know, months and months of not going forward with an impeachment inquiry, she decided to do it because she didn't want future presidents, future administrations to think that they could just get away with you know, breaking the law and extorting essentially the office of the president. And that's why she did this. So, yes, do I think it's incumbent on Democrats, Adam Schiff, Jerry Nadler, of course, with the Judiciary Committee hearings next week, to continue to present the case to the American people that why Donald Trump should be impeached? Yes. But unfortunately, we are in such a tribal society right now where, to the point that you made, Robin, Republicans, I don't think we're going to have one Republican vote in the House. I don't think that's necessarily Nancy Pelosi's fault. I think it's a shame that Republicans are living in their own silo. I think the Senate's going to be a different beast altogether because you do have some more moderate senators and some of them who are up for re-election this cycle in states that have a majority of voters that want Donald Trump to be impeached. Tom Tillis, Joni Ernst, Susan Collins, of course, three Republicans right there who may have a difficult time being able to vote no. But ultimately, Pelosi knew that the votes were not going to be on the side of Democrats, but she felt that it was her responsibility as the Speaker of the House to make sure that the office of the president is held to the integrity that the Constitution put forward.
Alice, Robin, go ahead. Yeah.
No, I'm following up on that. Adam Schiff was asked over the weekend if he thought there were certain grounds for impeachment and the articles of impeachment, if he had full faith in moving forward with that. he wasn't as forthright as he should have been if he feels so confident about this. And if he truly believes so fully that the president should be impeached and the articles are true and fair, he would be like Paul Revere running the streets of Washington saying the British are coming. He would be shouting, impeachment is coming. He has expressed severe reservations ever since the ending of the hearings that we've had. I don't see he has quite as much confidence coming out of these hearings as he did going into it. And I think that is a positive sign for President Trump.
I want to jump ahead to something else, but some have said that Schiff didn't want to give a full-throated yes because the inquiry isn't finished yet. But you make a point. But what about what Adrian just said? This, she used the word shame in Republicans. And there is a lie that's being used, that Ukraine hacked the Democratic Party server. All U.S. intelligence agencies say that is absolutely not true. But then we had the Louisiana Republican Senator John Kennedy, one of the Republicans, who gave that a full-throated endorsement. It's an absolute fiction. He would say, I don't know. Do you know? Well, we do know. The U.S. intelligence agencies know. Then he found out that obviously people do know. Here he is on CNN.
I was wrong. The only evidence I have, and I think it's overwhelming, is that it was Russia who tried to hack the DNC computer.
Well, Alice, I don't know if that can wipe out, weeks of or days of public testimony in which we heard Republicans spread that. What are you hearing behind the scenes? Are the Republicans embarrassed about that?
No. A lot of them truly believe what they say. I personally think it's absurd. I think this is a conspiracy theory that has certainly taken on steam. And I feel like it needs to be squelched because spreading this kind of misinformation is not appropriate. And it does exactly what Fiona Hill says. This emboldens the Russians. Spreading misinformation, specifically this, questioning the results of the outcome of the election, I think what this does is exactly emboldens the Russians and gives them exactly what they want, which is dissent amongst Americans, as well as spreading false information that makes the Russians look good. And in this case, the Ukrainians look bad. And I think talk of that nature of this conspiracy theory certainly needs to stop. And I do hats off to Senator Kennedy for walking back what he said.
Yeah, but it's so out there. Look, I want to ask you about next week. The impeachment inquiry moves to the House Judiciary Committee. They'll be holding their first public hearing, questioning constitutional scholars about impeachment. I want to ask each of you, Alice, first, should Trump or one of his lawyers join? Should they be there? I understand Democrats are debating this. He could show up and ask for, Joe Biden to testify. Or if he's or his lawyer, if they're not involved at all, Republicans in the Senate could say it wasn't legitimate. Alice, what should he do? What should happen?
I do believe it would be helpful if the attorneys were present and were able to be there during these proceedings. And whether it's to provide information or to ask questions, I think it's important. This is something that they've asked for, and now it's been granted. So I think they need to go ahead and make them available. Do think that anyone who has helpful information with regard to this situation should come forward and provide information.
Real quick, Adrian.
Alice and I both agree on this. Okay. I mean, this is what Donald Trump has been asking for.
Okay.
And so his attorney should be present.
Let's move on to 2020 because the new Quinnipiac poll puts Joe Biden firmly in first place nationally for the Democratic nomination. Pete Buttigieg second. Elizabeth Warren seems kind of frozen there at third. Bernie Sanders fourth. I just want to ask about Buttigieg. Some say he's not seeing growth in support from African Americans. And this week he had to explain past comments he made as a mayoral candidate about low-income African American students doing poorly in school because of a lack of role models. This is an eye-rolling trope for many because it eliminates years of inequity. It doesn't take that into account. And here's what he told reporters in Iowa yesterday.
What I said in that comment before I became mayor does not reflect the totality of my understanding then and certainly now about the obstacles that students of color face in our system today. I believe I was speaking about the need for mentorship and the need for career pathways.
Yeah, Adrian, Buttigieg has gotten, I think, a total of 8,000 votes in his lifetime as a mayor. What's your advice to him?
Well, boy, the opposition research is coming out, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, this is what happens when you are now a front runner in the first two early states, which is where Mayor Pete Buttigieg is. You know, look, my advice to him is to keep finding inroads with African-Americans and with Hispanics. He's not doing well with Hispanics either. You know, he is young and relatively inexperienced compared to other candidates in this race. But on the flip side, he's got a very inspirational message that has drawn a lot of people to his campaign. So I think he's got to go out there, have small conversations with influencers in the African-American and Latino community, and do the best he can to try to get more support there, because he will not be the party's nominee if he does not have support that goes beyond white college-educated voters.
Alice, we have 30 seconds. I'm going to be so unfair, but you spent the semester at Harvard's Institute of Politics talking about civility. Give us one word that will help us get through the dinner tomorrow.
Wine. No, I think sometimes people just don't want to have these conversations, and if someone's uncomfortable,
don't have
there are plenty of other things to talk about. I can talk about how thankful I am for my family.
Alice Stewart, Republican strategist, Adrian Elrod, the Democrat. We're thankful for both of you. Thank you.
Thank you.